6:32 a.m., broadcasting live from our studios on Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee. Well, for all of you political junkies, batten down the hatches in studio right now, the official guest host of the Tennessee Star Report and the lead political reporter covering all things Tennessee in politics, Mr. Aaron Gulbenson. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Michael. We are, what, 9 days out from, primary day here in Tennessee?
August 4th, primary day. And by the way, just a programming note, I will be in Arizona on Friday. I think we're going to have a meeting with Carrie Lake, as it turns out, the GOP candidate there, Trump endorsed. And we're going to be talking about developments there with the Arizona Sun-Times, which is doing very well. And but you're going to be here guest hosting for me, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. How do you like getting up at 3:30 in the morning, Aaron?
I'll let you know when you get back.
But you'll have a very good program, and people, you won't miss a beat on Friday. Aaron will be here holding down the home front. Now, Aaron, of course, we're in the midst of early voting in the August 4th primary for the state offices and for federal offices, particularly the U.S. House of Representatives. And it's the general election for the county election in school board and mayor and all that sort of stuff at the county level. So we are 9 days from Election Day. That will be a week from Thursday. What do we see going on right now? What's voting turnout look like so far, you can tell?
I think I saw something the other day of like 11,000 just in the 5th district, but that was the number that popped up on the screen when I went to early vote. This is the most interesting, and I talk to people all over the country. I talk to consultants. I talk to politicos. This is the highest profile primary in the country for a congressional district.
The fifth district. Congressional yeah. district here.
And because you're talking, I know you mentioned this a little bit earlier, but you're talking, when all is said and done, with the outside money, which is going to outweigh what came in from Tennessee, but you're talking probably north of $5 million when all is said and done, spent at least, possibly approaching $10 million, because we got 9 days out, and you've got $300,000, $500,000 ad buys going on as we speak. So,
and most of that coming from outside groups, right?
But the vast majority is coming from outside.
Yeah, and the reason this is such a high profile race is because the redistricting took a safe Democrat district that was all of Davidson County, a little bit of Cheatham and Dixon County, which had been in Democrat hands since 1875. That's a long time, folks. Now it was really very cleverly and legally redistricted by Speaker of the House Cam Sexton and Lieutenant Governor Randy McNally. No court challenges filed, so it complies with the Election Act of 1965, Voting Rights Act as well. And so now the district, which was a safe Democrat district previously represented by Jim Coover, he still represents it, but yep, he's not running for re-election, and he didn't challenge it in court. So the district now is parts of Davidson, Williamson and Wilson counties, and all of Murray, Marshall, and Lewis counties. It's a likely Republican seat.
Yeah, and it shows the outside interest. I was talking to a political consultant that I know extremely well, and his point, because we were discussing this very topic, is like why the outside groups are jumping in. And part of it is how plumb of a seat and an area it is. Because then you get to go do events with a Republican congressman that you quote-unquote control because you spent X amount of millions of dollars to get them elected and that sort of thing. So it's kind of like showcasing, or we're almost a victim of how nice our area is, because with all due respect to like Oklahoma 5th District and some other states that have opened up, Nashville's the place to be.
Middle Tennessee, it's such a great place to be. So all of the outside political groups want to be players in Nashville.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay. And so the amount of money being spent is staggering. You did a story for us about Club for Growth in particular.
Yep.
And the amount of money that's being spent by special groups in support of Andy Ogle's candidacy. He's one of the three leading contenders, the other two being Speaker of the House Beth Harwell and then retired Brigadier General Kurt Winstead. It looks to be a battle between those three, with Jeff Beierlein, kind of the fourth candidate, getting good reviews but not having enough money, is generally the sense of
right.
things.
Right. It's and as it goes down the stretch, it's a three-way money race, which it appears to be, at least from direct fundraising by those campaigns, and it looks like it's turning into a three-way with a real, you know, the question is what role does Beierlein play in this? He is very, very good one-on-one, and I think when people see him speak, he's a very attractive candidate when they meet with him. I think, that's kind of the reaction I got after the Epoch Times debate that he participated in.
Well, and by the way, just sort of in terms of this campaign has been filled with tactical missteps by every candidate, it seems to me.
In some form or another.
In some form or another, yeah. And that's part of the problem. So, and there are nine qualified candidates, there are only four who have a shot, really three, if you look at it. Jeff Beierlein is presented well, but doesn't have a lot of money. But five candidates were invited to the Epoch Times debate. Two of the three leading candidates, Beth Harwell and Kurt Winstead, did not participate in the debate. I think it was a tactical error by both of their campaigns. Andy Ogles was there. I think he won the straw poll. Jeff Beierlein did well in the straw poll, and Trace Whitam was there as well. But generally speaking, it was basically the performances that were good that night were Ogles and Beierlein. Not so much Trace. Nice try, Trace, but just sort of not exactly on point, it seemed to me. And then the opportunity to make your case, for whatever reason, Winstead accepted, didn't accept, according to whoever you talked to. Beth Harwell never accepted, but I think she missed an opportunity there to make her case.
Well, and I will say on these particular situations, it was a pick your poison, right? For in the Harwell situation, because she had, you know, with all this money we're talking about, I mean, we're talking well over $1 million being spent either in support of Andy Ogles or against Beth Harwell and Kurt Winstead.
So far, from what we've seen, it's over $1.3 million.
Yeah, it's
that's
over,
a lot of dough.
It's a ridiculous amount of money. Most of it's coming through the Club for Growth School Freedom Fund PAC or the USA. What is it? USA Freedom PAC.
Yeah, they all have this kind of the same name, but they're affiliated this, with Club for Growth.
They all have the same group of donors. They're all, you know, it's very incestuous with these DC super PACs because they can talk to each other, by the way. They're not supposed to talk to the campaigns. There are occasional ways that it happens as a matter of practice, but I'm not saying that's happening now, but it happens, and it's one of those things. And you look at the Koch brothers, they have a commonality too with the Club for Growth. They're the biggest, one of the biggest donors to Club for Growth is on the board of the Cato Institute. So all of like these DC so-called shadowy groups have a very incestuous relationship.
And the Koch brothers are very much open borders.
Yes, they're pro-amnesty.
I think that's a problem for the candidate that they're supporting,
which
Andy Ogle.
Yeah, yeah. But that's a major problem, and they're also pro big tech, and they need to address the Koch organization needs to go back to their old ways, which is 2009, 2010 anti-tax. I know.
And then the Club for Growth guys, anti-Trump in 2016.
Right.
Supported him in 2020, but then they spent like $1.5 million going after J.D. Vance,
yep,
the Trump-endorsed guy in Ohio.
And some races in Georgia and around the country.
So the Club for Growth participation, it would seem to me, would make it unlikely that Donald Trump would back Andy Ogles.
You would think.
You would think. Yeah. We'll see. Who knows? It's Donald Trump. It's 9 days out. This is the Tennessee Star Report. He's Aaron Gobenson. I'm Michael Patrick Leahy. We'll be back after this.